news time.
Hey guys, it's great to be here with you again. I'm just going to move these microphones out of the way. We're continuing on in our series in Mark 1 as we look at Jesus and following Jesus. You might notice Instagram colors in the really good graphic design that I whipped up. Pretty good. My computer died before then, the background moved, which was even cooler. But I'm going to stop talking about that. I'm talking about dumb accounts I follow on the internet. Here are three. This is Forested Dints I Seen. People just like post Subaru Foresters with dents in their rear guards. There's about 60 posts. If you see a good Forester with a good dent, submit it and you might get approved. This is Creatures of Manly. There's a lot of videos, some of which are probably not appropriate for this context, but I'll let you exercise discernment, which is a great Christian discipline. But here's what can we go. We'll get to Richie Ditch Meatpan. This is someone down at the Stain at Manly, in the middle of the pedestrian crossing. That's not where you park. And here is Richie Ditch Meantime, which Peter Overton are you today? The Channel 9 News presenter. This page just posts the most outrageous, weird things, and I love it. Steph, what Peter Overton are you today?
Eight.
Eight. Eight. Nice. I reckon personally right now I'm a 5. But I'd love to be a 1 by the end of the night. We'll see how we go. Now, you might be thinking, what the heck have I come into? Why is Josh showing me some of the things that he is following? But I want to justify why I am following pages like this. These things are worth following because they actually increase joy and value in my life. I see it, I let out a little from my nose, you know, like you see the meme and you laugh, and it's a really, really good thing. You might follow some other types of content. You might follow people that teach you how to cook really well, or follow like creative artists or things like that, that kind of increase value in your life as you see the beautiful things they've created. You might follow different influencers trying to work out what's trendy, what's cool. I don't, you can tell. And you might be trying to work out, how do these things that I follow add value to my life? And when I get bored of them, I can just click unfollow because they're no longer adding value. And so as we think about following Jesus, as Christians today follow this man who lived 2,000 years ago, the question has to be asked, is Jesus really worth following? Is the King really worth living for? Is he going to add value to our life? And what's going to happen if it might seem like he doesn't? Well, today we're going to be struck with the news of Jesus and struck with the stories of a few people who came face to face with the creator of the universe and left everything that they had for him. And I hope that might give you some encouragement as well. So we're going to think about the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Last week, we thought a bit about this good news. From the start of Mark chapter 1, we thought about how Jesus is life. Can you go to the next point? I was going to say it was going to be so smooth. Next one, please. No, there we are. Life-giving, Jesus is identity-defining, Jesus is purpose-transforming, and Jesus is eternity-changing. These are just a few things that I kind of came up with to describe just how good Jesus is. I could go on and on and on and on, and I know some of the people in this room could talk about Jesus and how good he is for hours. And it's taught up with this good news about this kingdom. That is that Jesus came and arrived as the king, the ruler, the one who is in control of the kingdom. And so we see what he says here in Mark chapter 1, 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is here. God isn't sitting back any longer. People would have thought, like, God, what is God doing? We've been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years and we're living in sin and in suffering and in shame. And yet God here shows up. God here arrives. The clock has been counting down, the hype has been building, and Jesus has come as the King to make all things right, to fix all wrongs, to bring in peace, and show true justice and love and kindness. Jesus is the King that we have been waiting for, and Jesus is the King of the kingdom of God, where God rules and no one else can take him out at all, where there is only ever good and only ever peace and only ever goodness. And this is the King that Jesus is like. We wait for things sometimes. I know some of our year 12s are waiting for their trials to be over. We might be waiting for other exam results or waiting to hear about that job interview that we had. But 2,000 years earlier, the people were waiting for something so much more beautiful. That is the King coming to take his place on the throne. Jesus, the King, who came and did a bunch of stuff that we'll see as we keep going throughout Mark. He showed you that God is not too far from you. He showed that God really loves people like you and like me. He healed the sick. He restored the sight to the people that have been blind from birth. He went to and loved the poor and the downtrodden when no one else would. This King is something else. And this kingdom is really, truly good news. The good news is possible only because of the King. The news of Jesus is only good news because of Jesus. The good news is Jesus himself, this man, this God, the one who knows you and who loves you and who died for you and who rose from the dead for you. The good news is Jesus himself. So why are we so tempted to follow other things? Why are we so quick to take the good things that Jesus gives us and forget him completely? I thought it might be helpful for us to articulate a couple of the things that sometimes we look to instead of Jesus. Some other good news that we like to follow. And firstly is community. Community is a really good thing. Thumbs up from me. Really, really good. God has made us brothers and sisters to love one another, to relate to one another as people forgiven by Jesus, where we can speak the news of Jesus to one another and encourage one another to keep going on when the world tells us not to. We've been made for relationship, and God gives us relationship, and this is a really good and a really beautiful thing. But so often our community, even here at Youth sometimes, can miss the point. We might love the community, but forget the Christ. We might love the thing that Jesus gives, but not him himself. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to catch up with quite a few youth and ask how they were going and ask, how did you come to know Jesus? And how did you come to be a Christian? And a lot of them, really heartbreakingly, didn't actually talk about Jesus. They said, yeah, I've been coming to youth for a few years and it's been really good. Or like, this person invited me to youth at this point. Sydney High, youth without Jesus is nothing. Community without Jesus has missed the point. We're not here just to kind of follow the vague things that Jesus gives us, but to follow Jesus himself. And so remember that and remind one another of that. Use the friendships, the Christ-like friendships that you have now, that you formed on camp and that you have had for so many years to push one another to keep following Jesus. Don't look to the gift he gives us, but to the gift giver. And secondly, I think the gospel of comfort is another thing that we long for and that we are really quick to go after instead of Jesus himself. This world sucks. Life is really hard. A lot of the time for a lot of people. I can't know the week that you've had. I can't know how your emotional state has gone. But I'm willing to bet that for at least some of us in this room, we have needed the peace that Jesus brings. We have needed the hope that is to come. We have needed someone to put their arm around us and say, it's okay, you are loved.
And this is all, once again, a really, really good thing. Jesus came to bring peace. He came to restore people to God himself, to preach the good news. He didn't come to preach the bad news. Comfort isn't a bad thing at all. But when we put comfort above Christ, we've once again missed the point. We're not here to just follow Jesus because he gives us good stuff, because he gives us hope, because he gives us peace. All of this is so good and so beautiful, but it's not the whole point. We don't want to miss Jesus, the gift giver himself, instead of chasing after just the gifts. It's so easy for us to be obsessed with the things he gives us rather than he himself. Hands up in the room, those who do some sort of kids ministry. All right, I know there's more of you. Hands up, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up, put your hands up if you have a younger sibling of some sort and have had to like babysit them at some point. Yeah, okay, that's a fair chunk of people in this room. There's moments when you're hanging out with younger people, and I'm not talking about like you guys because I'm old, but like younger people, like babies, where you might have the cool toy and they want to be your friend because you have the cool toy, right? I was doing creche the other day. I was downstairs and I was hanging out with this girl who I think is 3. Her name is Jade and she's a legend. But Jade really loved the electric guitar plastic thing that I had. I was shredding, I was jamming. Jade was like, come on, I want that. But she didn't really speak. But you could tell that she really, really wanted the toy. So I was like, okay, Jade, here you go. Thanks for being my friend. Here's the toy. And she grabbed it and she ran and legged it to the other side of the room and then started playing with the toy by herself. This is kind of what happens when we take the things that Jesus gives us out of the kindness of his heart, out of his love, and just take them and run and reject him. We're not here to take the gifts that Jesus has given us, but to know the gift giver himself, because he's the king that is truly worth following, who gives life, who transforms our purpose, who defines our identity, and who changes our eternity. And this is his message: repent and believe the good news. Turn around completely and believe the news that he is the king forever. And it's an all or nothing thing. You can't kind of like, you know when you're jumping into the pool and you like kind of dip your toe in and it's too cold and you quickly withdraw and then tap out and don't go for a swim that day. You can't do that with Jesus. You have to dive in. You have to go all in. You can't just put a few of your poker chips down with Jesus. You can't stay on the fence. You have to follow Jesus with everything. Repent and believe. Turn away from yourself and believe in him. We're going to see some pictures of people that have done that. Let's have a look. Continuing on in Mark chapter 1. Can we get off the slides, please? No, we can't. Don't worry. I didn't finish the slides. My bad, everyone. From verse 16, one day Jesus walked a little farther. As he did, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat preparing their nets. Right away, he called out to them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed Jesus. We see this guy called Simon, this guy called Andrew, who I accidentally skipped the reading of. We see James and we see John. And for each of them, Jesus went up to them and said, you follow me. And they thought about it and they left. They left everything that they had. They left every future plan that they had. They gave it all up for Jesus who knew them and for Jesus who loved them. Back then, you did what your parents did. The father of James and John was a fisherman, so they're going to do the family business, which is be a fisherman. My dad was a teacher, so if I grew up back then, I would be a teacher. Ben's dad used to work for eBay, so Ben would have worked for eBay. I was trying to think of someone's dad and what they did. Ben was all I got. Sorry, Ben. These guys left their family business and left their future for Jesus. There was something in Jesus, there was something about him that made them go, you know what, I'm going to leave my dad in a boat. I'm going to put Jesus ahead of my family. I'm going to put Jesus ahead of my future security. I'm going to put Jesus above everything. Because they knew that he was worth following. All in, not on the fence, They repented. They followed him. They repented. They believe. When Jesus calls you and says to you, follow me, what are you going to do? Are you willing to take the plunge, to dive in, to go all in with Jesus? Are you going to kind of give up everything for him? For those of us who are following Jesus, what is it in your life that you don't want to let go? Think about the thing that if God took it away from you, you would be really, really, really upset. Chances are that could be one of the things that is holding you back. It could be that relationship that you know is not helpful for you. It could be that paycheck for that shift that's on Sunday that goes straight through senior high. It could be that little bit of energy that you could get for your weekend if you don't go to youth on Friday night. Or it could be the freedom to just live the life you want to rather than Jesus, to not have to submit to decisions from someone else. I'm sure for everyone in this room, there is a different thing that is maybe holding them back. My friends, let me remind you that Jesus is worth following. That he knows your hesitation and he loves you all the same. That he sought you in your mess and in your sin and in your shame, and he loved you. He died for you. He rose for you. For those who are following Jesus, keep going. Keep living the life of repentance and belief, because the King is worth following. For those who are here that aren't, firstly, I'm so glad that you're here. But secondly, my question is, what's stopping you from following Jesus? If he's legit, if he really is the God that rules everything and is going to judge everyone, you need to do some serious thought about whether you're going to actually live for him or not. If he wasn't telling the truth, give up. That's fine. But he is. And he loves you. And he sees your heart that wants to cling to yourself. And he loves you anyway. We ask the question, is Jesus worth following? He was worth following for those back on the fishing boat, and he is worth following for us today. King Jesus is truly worth following. So let us, Senior High, leave everything and follow him. We can't do that by ourselves, so I'm going to pray for us that God would help us do so. Father, we thank you for your goodness and for your kindness and for sending Jesus. We thank you that he knows us and that he loves us, and we ask that we would follow him. Would nothing hold us back from knowing him and loving him more? We ask that for those of us who are currently tempted by sin, tempted to live for ourselves, that you would be with us and you would help us know you more and love you more, and that Jesus would truly satisfy us. Help us not chase after the things that are in this world, but to chase after you. Help us, Lord, know and love Jesus. Help us repent and believe the good news. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.